Well, let's turn in our Bibles to James chapter 2. That's where we'll be looking, obviously. And today we move into chapter 2 of this epistle of James. In the last chapter, chapter 1, James has just explained to his readers what type of acts of worship are pure in the sight of God. And just to refresh your memory, he mentions holiness, how we are to be unspotted by the world in the way we conduct ourselves here in a local church and at home, at work. All these are acts of worship when they are unspotted by the world. And also, he talks about how there needs to be care and concern for those who are in need. And he particularly highlights the orphans and the widows who were suffering in those days particularly. And now in chapter 2, James continues with the thought for the need of what we would call practical Christian living. A Christian who acts like God will act in these ways. As I've said before, and I'm sure I'll say again, the Epistle of James is a very practical book. It shows us practical ways that God wants us to live in our everyday life. That's why I like this book. Sometimes their books, some epistles are thick on doctrine and there's a lot of thinking, and that's good for us. But then there's also times where it's just, what can I do today? What does God want me to do in everyday life to please him? And here in James, we see this chapter after chapter. And what we discover in the first 9 verses of chapter 2 is, James gives a commandment to the believers. And then in verses 2 to 8, he gives a practical example of how you are to perform this commandment. And then in verse 9, he gives a conclusion to this. And in his conclusion, in verse 9, we read this: if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin. And so he makes a very interesting statement. This is his conclusion. So what we discover here is, this is in my words, if you have respect to people, you're committing sin. Now, I'm very surprised that young people throughout the generations haven't picked up on that little phrase and used it for being disrespectful. God says, it's a sin if I have respect to people. And so I'm not going to respect my teachers, my parents, the government, the police, because I just want to do what God wants. And he says not to show respect. And that's generally how we translate this word respect. It is showing honor for people and esteeming someone as being important. And if that's what the word means, well then, yes, it's a sin to be polite and show respect or honour other people. And that would be a very confusing verse in God's word. But the word respect here in verse 9, and then also in verse 1 when it's introduced, doesn't have that meaning. It comes from two Greek words. The first Greek word means countenance or your face. And so it has to do with your appearance. And the second Greek word is to take in or to receive someone or to accept someone. And so the word is basically meaning that you receive someone and accept that person on the basis of their appearance. That's what the Greek word means here with respect. James is telling his readers, and he's telling us as well, that if we take people in and accept them, or we reject them on the basis of their appearance, we are committing sin. God's telling us that we should love others and have a genuine care for all without partiality, showing kindness or a lack of kindness based on what someone looks like is not pleasing in the sight of God. And so this is what God says. Yet isn't it true that if we were to be honest, that this sin in one form or another is actually rampant in churches, not even in our church. Maybe even, I'd have to say, in my life, I know that I fall into this sin at times where I make decisions and I show care and concern for someone based on their appearance. And too often, if someone looks different, is dressed differently, we can forget that they are souls that God loves and He cares for, and wants us to show that love and compassion for, just as much as someone that may look in a manner that we find acceptable. And too often we might avoid some people or treat them differently, as though they're in the way or we don't really want them around, and it's based on their appearance. And that's exactly what God is talking about in this passage. And so let's have a look at what God wants us to know and then what He wants us to do. And so let's first of all have a look at God's commandment. That's found in verse 1. He says, "My brethren," so He's talking to believers, "have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect," that is, accepting someone based on their appearance of person. And so James is saying, don't hold to the Christian faith and at the same time discriminate between classes of people, thinking that one is more worthy of God's grace than others. Some are more worthy to hear the gospel, some are more worthy to receive your love and concern than others based on how they appear. But rather, let your faith be seen by showing love, as he goes on to say, without partiality, choosing one above the other. And brethren, if God says this is what we need to be doing, well then this is something we need to be aware of. We may not have the same class system as what they had in the days when James was writing this, but there is still that natural bent to gravitate towards those we feel more comfortable with or what we consider acceptable. We know the Jews had a real problem with this. It was ingrained in them that they didn't naturally gravitate towards Gentiles, and they would make decisions based on a person's appearance and their race. They had to really break out of this. But the reality is we are all like this. We have this natural tendency to gravitate towards things that we are more partial to than what we are not partial to. You know, that's a natural thing, and a lot of times there's nothing wrong with that. You know, you see it in every area of your life. For example, food. Some people are more partial to some sorts of food than others. And so what do? You always go to the food that you enjoy and you forget about the stuff that you don't like. A simple one would be the sundaes at McDonald's. Some people are partial to the chocolate ones, some are partial to the strawberry ones, and some to the caramel ones. And I'm partial to the chocolate ones, and so I don't really give the others a thought. I just keep going to the chocolate. And so because I'm partial to one, that's what I gravitate to. That's just a part of life. People do that with their footy teams. You might be partial towards a footy team, and so you want to know all about that. You're concerned about your team, but you don't really show any real interest in the other teams. What you're partial to is what you show interest in, and you tend to ignore the other things. And that is, those examples would be endless in life. Now, that's not wrong, but God says He doesn't want it to be the case when it comes to our love and concern towards people. That's when it becomes a sin. God wants us to be like Him, and we see what He is like by how Christ acted when he was upon this earth. If Jesus based his care and his concern on a person's appearance, he certainly wouldn't be showing compassion on those lepers, would he? Or on the lame, or on the beggars, and really on most of the people that followed him. Most of the people that followed him were the poor and the needy and the sick and the deformed, and Jesus had compassion on them. If he showed love based on appearance, he certainly wouldn't have had any time for that Gadarean that came out of the tombs of the mountain running, cut all over, naked, screaming, and this scary man. He certainly wouldn't have shown any compassion upon him. There were lots of people who he met who were filthy, looked strange, and certainly were unpopular in the community. People who their natural bent would have said, don't bother Christ. There are more important people that he needs to spend time with. We know that happened to blind Bartimaeus. He's yelling out for Jesus to have mercy upon them. And the people around said, leave him alone. But Jesus showed compassion on that man, like he did with many who the natural bent would be to stay away from these people. And Jesus says, well, God's word tells us that we need to be acting like Christ in this way. Yet we know that often we act in the manner that we shouldn't be acting. And this is what James is teaching us here. You know, you could put verse 1 and verse 9 together and leave it at that. Let me read them together. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. Verse 9. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. And if that's all there was, possibly the readers of James would have read that and said, yep, that's true, I agree with that 100%, just like we do. We would read that and say, yes. But James gives them an example of what he meant. And I'm sure he could have given many examples of don't treat your neighbor like this, don't treat the person down the street like this. But he shows that partiality can also be found in the church, a place where it shouldn't be found. And it seems as though, although James starts off by giving a hypothetical example, by the end of the example, we see here that this was something that was actually happening in the churches that he was writing to. Have a look at verse 2. It says, for if. And so hypothetically speaking, if a rich man and a poor man comes in, we know what it says. But then have a look at verses 6 and 7. It says, but ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that holy name by which ye are called? And so we see here, but ye have despised the poor. It's not hypothetical anymore. There obviously had been times when this very thing had been happening in the churches. And obviously that's why the Holy Spirit prompted James to write this and say it to the people, because these things were happening. They had been getting visitors, and I don't know how that sort of worked in the early church, but visitors came, which is a good thing, just like it is for us. We want visitors, we pray for visitors, we want people to come in and hear the word of God when we're allowed to be opened. But in this example, we see that one was treated very differently to the other one simply based on how they looked. Not by their attitude or their actions, but simply by their appearance. James describes one who was obviously rich. He has gold rings, nice clothing that is splendid to look at. That's what the word gay means back when it was written. But the other visitor is obviously poor. He had vile raiment, dirty and polluted. There was nothing attractive about him. But even though both of these were visitors, both of them were souls who Jesus died for, even though both of them were souls who God cared for and wanted them to hear the grace of God that they could enjoy and to be loved by the brethren, they were treated very differently. And it had nothing to do with their soul, but everything to do with their appearance, as that word respect means here. Accepting on the basis of appearance. To the rich man, they lined up and welcomed him. It says, verse 3, "And ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing." Now, it's good to add, just to highlight that the word respect there is a different Greek word. Ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing. That word, respect, is what we would often think of when we think of respect. It means to look attentively to an honour. And that's what we would think of in regards to respect. You know, for example, if we were meeting and someone pulled up in a Ferrari. I don't know if you've ever seen a Ferrari in real life, but they are a magnificent pieces of machinery. They are beautiful. Yeah, they do. When you see one, it's amazing. And if someone pulled up in a Ferrari, I suspect that most of the men would be there and they would show respect to this car. That is, that they would look attentively with it with honor or awe. Wow, look at this thing. That's amazing. Hey, move your Commodore out of the way. We want the Ferrari in this nice spot, so to speak. And that's how they were treating this rich man, dressed in nice apparel. Wow, look at him. He's amazing. Wow, they're looking attentively with awe. And it says, and they say, "Sit thou here in a good place." Like the Ferrari gets a good parking spot, well, the nicely dressed rich man, he gets a nice seat. He's fussed over. He's made to feel welcome. He gets a nice seat and a very nice welcome. Now, I might add, there's nothing wrong with that. That's how it should be. When someone comes in, they should be treated with honor and respect, and we show a genuine concern for them. They didn't do anything wrong in regards to the rich man. The problem is how they treated the next person that came in. Because it says, "And say to the poor man comes in, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool." So when it came to the poor visitor, the people didn't give him the same respect. They didn't fuss over him. They treated him very differently. "Oh, hi. You can sit over there if you want, or stand over there, or there's room at my feet if you want to sit there." They're treated very differently. These visitors were treated differently based on their appearance. And sadly, there are times when it happens even today in churches. People are treated differently depending on how they look. And James goes on in verse 4 and says, "Are ye not then partial in yourselves and are become judges of evil thoughts?" The word "partial" there just simply means, are you not making a difference? You are separating the two. They come in and you make a decision. Yes, based on your appearance, I consider you to be important and I consider you not to be important. And James says that this type of attitude is evil. They are evil thoughts when we think like this. He doesn't say, you know, this is a little bit concerning when you act like this. No, he says it's evil. It's a sin. Now, I'm sure you're sitting there and thinking, well, this is pretty basic stuff to understand. And it is. If you can't understand this, you're either just not listening. Yeah, you're just not listening. I think anyone can understand this. And we can hear it. And we can say it's a terrible attitude. And we can even shake our heads in disgust. But the reality is, unknowingly, we can often do it. For example, just say when we do come back. Or more importantly, think of when we were meeting. Because that will show how you normally act. When we were normally meeting, when a visitor came, dressed nicely, you know, nothing offensive, would you be the one that goes up and makes them feel welcome? Is that how you acted in the past? Would you go up, shake their hand, say hello to them, have a little chat, make them feel welcome, invite them in, and would you be the one that does that? Not the pastor, not someone else, but would you be the one who does that? Or would you be happy to just stay in your seat, just talk to your little friends that are just around you or your little family and stay there and let someone else make them feel welcome? How have you acted in the past? What are you like? You know, if you're someone who leaves it to somebody else to do that, and you would prefer to just stick to those who you are partial to, all right? Those you feel comfortable with, your friends, your family. If you're someone who says, I'm just going to stick with my little group, I'm going to let someone else do it, without even realizing it, do you understand that you are acting this very way? You're being partial. You're preferring one above the other. You're partial to your family because you feel comfortable with them. You're partial to your friends. And you're not showing the same care to others, someone that just maybe just walked in. See how it happens in a church without people even realizing it? I see it all the time when we're meeting. People come in, there's a visitor, and there's only a few regulars that make visitors feel welcome. Others are content to just stick with who they feel comfortable with. Brethren, without making too big a fuss over it, that's not how God wants us to act. It's just not the responsibility of the pastor, the pastor's wife, or a couple of extroverts to do that. It's a part of all of our responsibility to do it. You know, the next step after that is, if you are someone that goes and shows kindness to visitors and make them feel welcome, do you make a difference between those who might be nicely dressed and those who might be a homeless person walking in, smelly clothes, looking like they haven't had a feed and had a shower for a long time? Do you make a difference? Do you treat them different? Do you think, well, this person's never really going to get saved, or this is not the person I really want around here, and so you treat them differently? This is exactly what God is saying we should not be doing. And so in the past, how have you treated visitors? I know that there are some who treat everyone the same and show genuine care to anyone who walks in that door. Yet I do know that there are many who won't even go up and say hello. What about you? You stick to your family group, your friends, and never welcome or show kindness? Well, can I just nicely say this is a message for you? Right? We need to not just stick with what we're comfortable with and show partiality in that way. And, you know, this can make all the difference for someone who outwardly may not look like they are seeking God and His ways, but inwardly they are. But they need to feel accepted and loved, and they should be able to find it here in our church when we start up. I know I've shared this before. I don't know if it was at church or at youth group, but when I left home, 18 years old, off to go down to a town called Nowra to work there, I didn't really want to go to church, but I thought I should, so I went off. Found church, and went to church that day. Those days I had very long hair, to my shame, all right, quite long hair, jeans, t-shirt, flannel. I think I was wearing shoes. I'm not sure, because a lot of times I didn't wear shoes, I just wore socks, because I'd have my my gum boots and then wear them in the car after milking and then just hop out, leave the gum boots there in the car and just go into the building or the shopping centre. So I'm not sure if I had shoes, but anyway, I went in there and sat there. And admittedly, it was a good message, a nice service. Afterwards, I sat there feeling quite awkward, not knowing anyone. And there would be people that walked by and they'd give me a little smile and I'd smile back and they'd walk past. There were some that got really brave and said, hi. And I said, hi back. And then they kept on walking. And that was it. No one stopped to actually talk to me or make me feel welcome. And I'm sure that they were very nice people. They just didn't want to be, they didn't have time to be nice to me. And so I went home and I thought, I think I'll go find another church. And so I went off to another church the next week. And I was running a little bit late and the doors were shut, which is really scary because usually when you open the doors, everyone's going to look at you. But I opened the door a little bit and there was two fellas down the back. And one turned around and he saw me look through and he waved at me and told me to come over. And I thought, do I know this guy? So I went over and he sat and he introduced himself and introduced the other guy, welcome, and sat there. And so I sat there during the service. And then afterwards, they asked me about, you know, what am I doing here, you know, and so on. And they said, look, we're going to go to lunch at Hungry Jack's. Do you want to come with us? I said, yeah, okay. And so went off with a few of them and had lunch. And you know, I went home and I thought, you know, I'm going to go back to that church. Now, was I going back because the preaching was great? Didn't have any influence on it. Was it because the pastor was nice? Didn't have any influence. Was it because of the congregation was big and the facilities? No. It came down to one thing, probably not the best thing, but really the one thing for me at that time was people showed kindness to me and made me feel welcome. And I went back and I continued there until I left that town. They didn't just give me a smile and a quick hello, but they actually showed interest. They didn't make assumptions based on what I look like, and that's a scary look, I'm here to tell you. Well, as far as I'm aware, they didn't make assumptions, but they acted in a godly manner. And the Lord makes it very clear here in His Word, when someone comes into our assembly, when we can meet, if we make it based on what appeals to us, if we're going to show kindness or not, by their appearance and what we gravitate to, we are committing a sin. Wow, you can come to church and sin just in that way. I wonder how often we've gone home thinking we've pleased the Lord and He's been really upset with me because we have shown respect. We've accepted someone or rejected someone based on how they looked. And we didn't even realize that what we have done is unpleasing in the sight of God. You know, this applies to all our ministries, the One Way and the youth group and our church. God's made it very clear here in James the type of actions that He expects to see from us if we are to be godly in His sight towards those who we meet for the very first time. And I encourage you, just think how you've been acting in the past when we could meet. And if you need to change, make that a commitment. When we are allowed back, I'm going to not show respect to people in that way. But I will not separate one from another, but I will show care to all. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You that, Lord, You loved us regardless of how we appeared, and not just how we appeared, but You saw our soul and how vile it was, and yet You still loved us enough to die in our place. Thank You that You're able to do that transforming that only You can do. And I pray that, Lord, we will not be people who hinder you doing that work in others simply because we feel uncomfortable around someone. Help us to show the love that Christ showed to others. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.